CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Some troops are leaving the L.A. area a month after they were deployed there by President Trump. CBS's Matt Piper with an update.
The Trump administration is releasing thousands of California National Guard troops from a federal mission in Los Angeles that had responded to protests. It comes more than a month after President Trump deployed the troops over Governor Gavin Newsom's objections. 2,000 Guard troops will be released, the Pentagon says, which is half of the 4,000 who were brought under federal control. It's not immediately clear how long the rest will stay in the region.
The investigation is underway into a fire that killed 9 people and the assisted living home in Fall River, Massachusetts, where it broke out. CBS's Tom Hanson.
Debbie Johnson says she worked as a nursing assistant at Gabriel House. During her 4 years there, she worried about safety all the time.
If there's a fire in this building tonight, what the hell am I going to do? I said, I'm not going to be able to get everybody out of here.
You never in the 4 years.
Never.
Had a fire drill.
Never had a fire drill.
How many people were on shift when the fire broke out?
2.
Just 2?
2, and they were new.
For 70 people?
They were new employees.
U.S. consumer inflation picked up last month as policymakers try to gauge how President Trump's tariffs are affecting the economy. The consumer price index was up 2.7% from a year ago. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
One notable decrease during the month, egg prices down by 7.4%. But those prices are still 27% higher from a year ago. That is primarily due to the avian flu.
President Trump questions the credibility of unreleased documents related to the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking case and defends Attorney General Pam Bondi.
She's handled it very well, and it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release, yeah.
CBS's Scott McFarland.
But the pressure will continue to grow on the Attorney General to release whatever is releasable about Jeffrey Epstein's death and whatever is on this so-called Epstein list. Some of the most ardent Trump supporters are still vocalizing this. This is a political problem for the administration, if not a legal one.
Mike Waltz has appeared before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee for his confirmation hearing for U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Waltz has faced questioning for the first time since losing his post as national security advisor after mistakenly adding a journalist to a private Signal chat being used to discuss sensitive military plans.
I'm confident under this president's leadership, we can continue to spread peace and prosperity, and I'm confident we can make the UN great again.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The All-Star Game tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game in Atlanta. The Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski is there, likely get to pitch in the 6th or 7th inning. That's according to National League manager Dave Roberts. Now, some teams have complained the Miz doesn't belong in the All-Star Game after just 5 career starts. What did his teammates say?
They were all thrilled about it, and they're happy for me. Yeah, no, it's been the world for the guys to be around me and support me how they have. It's been awesome.
Basketball. Doc Rivers says ignore the reports on ESPN. Rivers says he met with Giannis Antetokounmpo right after the season ended against the Pacers.
Giannis came in to me the day after the season. We're talking about next season already. You know, there's far more talk outside of Milwaukee than there is inside of Milwaukee. Giannis loves Milwaukee. We love Giannis, and it's been a great relationship.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Emmy nominations are in, and here are some shows nominated in the Best Drama category. Andor from Disney+, Netflix's The Diplomat, HBO has 3 nominees with The Last of Us, The Pitt, and White Lotus. Hulu's Paradise, and rounding out the nominees are Apple TV's Severance and Slow Horses. Not a weak link in the bunch. Nominees for Best Actress in the drama series include Kathy Bates for Matlock, Sharon Horgan in Bad Sisters, Bella Ramsey in The Last of Us, Britt Lower for Severance, and Kerry Russell in The Diplomat. Best Actor nominees and and drama series include Gary Oldman for Slow Horses, Adam Scott in Severance, Noah Wiley in The Pit, Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us, and Sterling K. Brown for Paradise. And when it comes to the outstanding scripted variety series, you've got to like your chances, as there are only two nominees, Last Week with John Oliver and Saturday Night Live. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong with heavy rainfall. Warm and muggy with lows in the upper 60s. More showers and storms possible tomorrow. Cooler but humid. Highs mid-70s. Sun's back for Thursday. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media sports authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook. Any cup of anything.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and today I have a special show, but first I want to say Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. So today I have a show that we did a few days ago, and I wanted to bring it here on Civic Media and Native AM 950 and all over Turtle Island. And it's had Isabella Lopez on and Bear Dion and some really very cool warriors here, the young warriors. And we're just having a conversation, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Right on, right on. Hey, I got a couple of young warriors here, and we are live at KFAI. And I know I just want to give a big shout out to all the people out here that listen to KFAI and listen to Native Roots Radio. I hear you. I really appreciate when you come up to me at different places and say that you've heard this show. And it's great. We're live here, and I got a couple warriors here, young warriors. But I guess, Miguel, everyone's young compared to me. Oh, wow. Hey, why don't you introduce yourself in a good way? Go ahead first, Bear.
Hello. My name is Bear Dion. I come from Turtle Mountain, and I'm from Minneapolis.
His sacred area here. Go ahead. You're up next.
Yeah. Tius nola zelishvela. Hola, mi amo Isabela. Hi, I'm Isabela. My parents are from Mexico. I was born here in Chicago. Very much a Minnesota native.
Right on. Hey, we did a tour earlier, this great studio in Minneapolis here at KFAI Studio. What was one of the things that you surprised you the most? Or you've been here before. So what are one of the things that surprised you the most, Bear?
Your guys's music library. I mean, I've never been in an area like that, I guess, with so much like music on standby.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, right on. And we should have a music show sometime here at KFAI. What do you think about that?
I'm down with that.
What kind of music do you like?
I like everything. I like rock. I like hip hop. I love hip hop, R&B.
Yeah. Name a couple artists real quick so I can either be hip with you or not hip with you.
Contemporary or
anybody.
I know Bear really likes Rolling Stones. We were listening to that in the car.
Right on. Which album do you know? See, like when I was in high school, Some Girls came out, and that was just before Sticky Fingers, and Sticky Fingers had the zipper and the pants, and that was very revolutionary. And then Some Girls had
all these pictures of people, of women that, you know, from the 30s and 40s and 50s. And then the Rolling Stones got sued for using their likeness. And there's another album out there with blank pictures and only a few pictures. And the album was called Some Girls. But that's all I remember about the 70s. You know, that was a joke for old people out there listening. They know if you really were involved in the 70s, you don't remember it. So that's okay. Young ones didn't get that one. So, no, the Rolling Stones, which album were you listening to?
I don't know the album, but the song was Painted Black.
Oh.
Painted Black.
Right on. Should we sing that in a good way? I see a red door and I want to paint it
black.
Right on.
Let's go, Bear.
Right on. Right on. So, Bear, do you speak, and are you Dakota or Ojibwe or some sacred like Ho-Chunk?
My dad's Ojibwe and my mom's Lakota. She's from Standing Rock.
Oh.
On the north side, you know, north side of the reservation. And, you know, my dad's from Turtle Mountain, which is also located in the same state, North Dakota. So
that's very cool. And I don't know if you know this, 9 years ago, we started Native Roots Radio because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation and no information that was coming out of there. And we basically talked about Standing Rock for every, it was a 1 hour show. And we talked about Standing Rock every week and we'd be out there and we were out there for Thanksgiving, and it was probably the second biggest city in North Dakota because there were so many people there. It was 20,000 people at Standing Rock. You guys heard of Standing Rock, right? The Dakota Access Pipeline?
Yeah.
Yeah, no dapple. Yeah.
Right on. Tell me what you know about it. Well, they put a pipeline. A pipeline was going through Bismarck, and the white people, I heard the crack of the knuckles there. The white people did not want the pipelines going through their city because pipelines leak. So they said, put it through this reservation. And that's what happened. And just a year before that, President Obama was at Standing Rock and said, there's no way that there's going to be a pipeline going through your reservation. And as he was still president, a pipeline was being built and headed right towards the reservation, right through the Missouri River. And the tribal leaders at Standing Rock asked for help. And I know I went down there as a high school teacher. We went down there, students, Native students and allies. We took a bus to Standing Rock for a long weekend to help the young ones that were feeding everybody, to give them a break. And there was about 1,000 people there, and it was crazy. It was just before the week that that they had dogs down there biting on people.
Yeah, I was crazy because I feel like it's been coming up in conversations a lot with my friends, and they were telling me their experiences there, like being on the front lines, and like just saying like that was like their first or like their like last time of like being in the front lines.
Yeah, well, there's front lines happening soon here now too, and we know our friends in California, and we also see ICE agents cruising around the Twin Cities too. And and I know you have a story about that that you probably can't talk about when we won't talk about it. But I know it's time to rise. And we're in Minneapolis where American Indian Movement started. And they started because of the injustices that were happening to their people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're at that point again here as Native Americans and brown people and BIPOC people. We're at that standing point again where that we need to resist.
Yeah, exactly. Like you were saying before this, like the eagle and the condor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that I've listened to a lot of elders from here talk about a lot. And like being from Oaxaca, which is like the second most indigenous state in Mexico, I've grown up very closely to my own Zapotec indigenous roots. And I think it's really important that all brown people, you know, whether they identify as like, you know, indigenous or trying to find those roots, I think it's really important to remember the occupation that is all over the Americas, whether it be Mexico, Ecuador, the United States. We're all occupied people, and our culture comes from a bastardized version of our actual identity.
And so for me, it's always been really important to talk about and to name the groups. And I think it's really important for us to remember that there's Indigenous people from the South that are here, you know, with Northern Natives. And like, that's been happening way before like these borders even existed, was the trading routes that we created with one another.
You know, it always blows my mind, and I'm kind of changing the subject about trading routes, but just a path that we as Indigenous people in the Twin Cities here are now major roads. Like Snelling
Crazy.
Avenue was a
Yeah.
major trading route at one time, and now it's, you know, 30,000-40,000 people drive on that street. But it has its roots based in, you know, 510,000 years ago.
It's crazy. I mean, like, I feel like so much of what is quote unquote American culture really just comes from what the original people of these lands have already cultivated and created.
Yeah.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Radio. We are Alusa Nation.
Well, American culture really just comes from what the original people of these lands have already cultivated and created.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, one of the things too that really freaked me out, I've had to go to Wisconsin more because I used to be until a couple of days ago, I was a tribal representative in tribal government, and all the names of Indigenous people and places and lakes and things like that through all of Wisconsin and of course Minnesota for sure. But it's just like it's still there, and we hear people talk about my family's been here for a couple of generations, and well, we've been here for 10,000 years.
Exactly.
And so it's hard to equate. I like to bring that up to them and remind them that, you know, 40 years ago or 100 years ago is not, you know, the first 500 years ago when Columbus came here and started this whole ratification of brown people from its own lands. So, Bear, why don't you jump in too? I know you're doing some great work, and your family's got some great work happening in Minneapolis, and the organization that you're part of is kind of why you're here, because we're going to try and get a podcast going for you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I'm an intern with Indigenous Peoples, IPM, Indigenous Protectors Movement. My dad and my stepmom are co-founders of the org, and they want to change. What I'm doing right now, though, is a little different from what they're doing. I'm going to be doing a podcast about different issues that, you know, we currently face, we've faced in the past. And some of them are like cultural identity, MMIR, things like that. And I'm just now learning the ropes about like how to navigate, how to write a script, you know, what equipment to use, mm-hmm. what to say, how to keep myself engaged and my guests engaged.
Right on.
And, you know, I am having difficulties personally with like script writing or whatever.
Well, you can see all the planning I do before the show. Okay, you guys are supposed to laugh because I didn't do any planning.
No, you just like rock and roll. Just
well, I've been doing it for 9 years. And if it wasn't for you two, and we just had Deanna Standing Cloud on before, and she just rocked it by herself. Yeah. I could not do that. I'd be saying, that's what I would be doing instead of having a conversation with you guys. So there's ways to get around it, and everybody has their story. And I just feel like you could be like I am and a conduit to people's stories, because I'm not an expert about you two, but you're an expert on yourself. So you can bring some good guests in. And I've been blessed over the years to have great guests that I've learned so much. Can we talk a little bit more about were you going to say something?
Yeah, I
like
say,
how you raised your hand there. I felt like I was teaching again. Oh, what?
I said, speaking of guest or whatever, I didn't know I was going to be a guest until, you know, like 2 weeks ago when I met you officially when we were having dinner. And like, you know, like I said, since I'm new to this whole process, I bombarded you with questions or whatever that I was like coming up at the top of my head, because I was like, oh no, what if so-and-so does this? And I don't know. I don't know. I was, when you said I was going to be a guest on here, I was like, I never been on the radio. So I was like, Oh no, you know, like, what am I going to say? You know, am I going to freeze up? I kind of do feel like that.
But it never goes away.
Yeah.
Right, Miguel? Miguel's saying no, it never goes away. Yeah. So, yeah. But again, the guests you have and just knowing what they're going to talk about, and these hours go so fast. We've already talked for 12 minutes. You know, that's amazing. So can we talk a little bit about the story, to give the backstory of the condor and the eagle and what you know about that? Because I think it's really important, because as you know, to be colonized, people need to separate people that would naturally be allies. And I feel like if we don't tell the story often, our allies out there that are listening to the show and our other allies don't know how close we are, because when people are getting swooped up by ice, that's 1 degree away from a native person being swept up by ice. And exactly. I say that for a couple reasons, because the way we look and the color of our hair, but also, you know, are you going to take my tribal ID, or does some mm-hmm. people that are native or a native enough blood quantum, because the government told us that this is what we should do. But you know, the tribes stepped up and got tribal IDs with cards and things like that when this all went down. But still, there's people that are going to be left out, where their lineage is native and they look, you know, a Latino, or you know, dark hair and beautiful brown eyes like mine.
Exactly that. I mean, I feel like what has remained consistent throughout what is now known as the United States and Mexico is the criminalization of brown people.
Yeah.
And how that lineage, to whether it be to like condemn more hate onto us, or whether it be like to like, you know, oppressing us in the smallest ways, that's consistent throughout all of the Americas. And that's something I've seen for a lot of my life, going back to Mexico and seeing that in Oaxaca, and also knowing that right now there's gentrification happening. And like within our own neighborhoods here, even in LA and New York, and seeing that consistently come through, I think that there's been a resistance within the Chicano and the, you know, AIM movement. Mm-hmm. There's always been that allyship. And I think that's something that, you know, people don't like to mention too much, or, you know, talk about, that needs to be mentioned.
Right. The brown berets. And and also one thing I want to mention too about AIM, American Indian Movement, the leaders were watching what was happening with the Black Panther movement and wanted to get involved, like the Black Panthers. And, you know, before the news and people really got down on the Black Panthers, you guys don't probably know this, but because you're young, but they were feeding community. They were doing all these great things, but yet they got, you know, commercialized in a sense that they were bad people and they carried guns and they wore black leather jackets and they were bad people.
They were radical. They were just like really way ahead of their times. But I think my bad.
Is that my phone right there?
I don't know.
Yeah. I've been looking all over that.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Miguel, when do we start? Is this, have we started yet? Oh yeah. The show's been going on. Okay, cool. No, but that's, I thought this, we were just practicing, but this is live. No, I'm just kidding. Bear, when you had something to say, I saw you raise your hand. And I again felt like a teacher again. Hoa.
Yeah, about the, you know, like, are they going to accept your tribal ID card or what? Because, like, I'm not even enrolled, you know? I'm not enrolled yet. So, like, what is that going to look like if I got detained? I'm a little scared of that for myself and, you know, my friends and family that aren't enrolled.
Yeah, it's huge. Your tribe's got to step up, though, because like Ho-Chunk, they're getting cards out and paperwork for lineage people, too. And so that's one of the nations, one of the tribes are doing out there. But no, it's a frightening thing. It is. And it's for someone like me, I'm 64 years old. I can't believe I'm seeing this.
Yeah,
I really can't.
I think it's like the wave of violence. It's like, to me, it's just another form of apartheid that what's happening right now, you know, just in the same way. And it's almost like it was like we saw it coming with Palestine. And so seeing it now coming back to home base, to where a lot of these like racist policies like really started having like an imperial power in the U.S., like just seeing it come out again, I think that I'm not surprised, but I am kind of like alerted that like where everybody else is surprised, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I got to tell you a quick story. Again, I'm old. So I was brought up during the Vietnam protests. So I was young during that and people were protesting the war. Well, fast forward to George Bush one. And I couldn't believe how people were so into him bombing a foreign country and killing over 200,000 people. The United States had shifted, and I grew up on the with the nightly news saying that we killed 100 Viet Cong and 50 American soldiers were killed, and there was a count every night, and we were winning because 50 more Viet Cong were killed than Americans. And so I thought that we had gone through that process where war stinks and all this, and then we go back into two more or another generation and here we are again. The United States is as a country, I think it's only been like 10 years out of the 250 years that they have not been in war.
I mean, that's what how the United States was like founded, was like to make, you know, weapons for other countries. It's a factory nation. You know, and it's like that's the basis of its culture, and people forget that.
Well, I know we're talking pretty heavy here and we're going to take a break pretty soon, but I'd really probably I want to switch gears too, because I always talk about with my guests on Native Roots Radio, what is the solution, what is the what do we need to do, what's the, and I think we can talk about that. That would be awesome, just because we got to feel better about ourselves. And I don't feel good about myself, but myself, because there's so much going on. I'm just getting bombarded with all this stuff. And I heard a great thing where focus on one thing, you know, whether it's like you want to protect animals or, you know, a dog, protect your family.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tappel Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. The Trump administration is releasing some 2,000 of the roughly 4,000 California National Guard members from a federal mission in Los Angeles. They were deployed during ICE protests last month. In response to today's decision, Governor Gavin Newsom is calling on the Trump administration to also return the remaining Guard forces. Investigators are trying to determine the cause of Sunday night's deadly fire at an assisted living home in Fall River, Massachusetts. CBS's Tom Hansen.
They describe staffing shortages. They describe troubling conditions. And I want to remind you that 70 people lived here, many of them with mobility issues.
The Labor Department says inflation rose last month to its highest level in 4 months as the cost of gas and groceries increased in Greenville, South Carolina.
Everything seems to be more expensive.
I can't believe how much everything has gone up. It's ridiculous.
Beyond frustrated. It makes no sense.
It's gotten a little out of control for too long.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The All-Star Game tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game in Atlanta. The Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski is there, likely get to pitch in the sixth or seventh inning. That's according to National League manager Dave Roberts. Now, some teams have complained the Miz doesn't belong in the All-Star Game after just five career starts. What did his teammates say?
They were all thrilled about it, and they're happy for me. Yeah, no, it's been the world for the guys to be around me and support me how they have. It's been awesome.
Basketball. Doc Rivers says ignore the reports on ESPN. Rivers says he met with Giannis Antetokounmpo right after the season ended against the Pacers.
Giannis came in to me the day after the season. We're talking about next season already. You know, there's far more talk outside of Milwaukee than there is inside of Milwaukee. Giannis loves Milwaukee. We love Giannis, and it's been a great relationship.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Emmy nominations for this year are in, and if you like to laugh, here are some shows you may or may not have seen that could be worth checking out. The nominees for the Best Comedy Series include Abbott Elementary, The Bear, HBO's Hacks, Netflix's Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, Apple TV's Shrinking, and The Studio, and the offbeat cool What We Do in the Shadows. Nominees for Actor in a Comedy Series include Adam Brody for Nobody Wants This, The Studio's Seth Rogen, Jason Segel in Shrinking, Martin Short in Only Murders, and Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Outstanding actress nominees in a comedy series include Io Edebiri from The Bear, Jean Smart from Hacks, no surprise there, Kristen Bell from Nobody Wants This, and Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong with heavy rainfall. Warm and muggy with lows in the upper 60s. More showers and storms possible tomorrow. Cooler but humid. Highs mid-70s. Sun's back for Thursday. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals, he wants the lords, he wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road for What Makes Wisconsin Great, this time from the EAA and Oshkosh Air Museum, along with Jane and Greg. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa nation.
Used to seeing this in living color because we go Facebook Live. We do all these things that show what's happening in L.A. right now and what happened on Lake Street weeks ago that just blew my mind. But power to the people came up.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, Baird, like, what do you think about the power to the people?
I wonder if we have power to the people that we could use that as a song. Why don't we look that up for a bumper song? Go ahead, Bear.
I don't know.
Because you've been through, I feel like you've been around a lot of people that have that, like, either cultivate power or they like want to empower people in the community.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. I don't know.
Well, like your dad and your stepmom who did that march across the country for Leonard Peltier. That's empowering. And that's a powerful statement. They were on my show giving updates during that whole thing. That's a great example with just your family.
Now that you say that, I guess I have been around a lot of people, but I guess I'll just mainly use my stepmom and my father. That's how they met, was on the walk, you know, and they ended up getting married and having a kid. And then, you know, now they're here in Minneapolis, and started IPM. There's also, our director, our ED, Crow Belcourt.
Mm-hmm.
And, he speaks well. He speaks he MCs at a lot of, places, you know, and I guess his power to the people is like, I don't know, he brings that like comfort, that joy or whatever.
Yeah. And I know Crow, his father was on my show many times, Clyde Belcourt, founding member of Native American Indian Movement, and Crow was brought up in that environment with his mother and father, super involved, and he has a great lineage, and he's also a great singer. He's has many trophies of powwow singing, but he's also here working with you guys as executive director, it's awesome that people like yourself, you know, with your father, that you're picking up the baton and joining in the revolution.
Thanks.
That was French, le revolution.
Yeah, no, I feel like Bear has a lot of great insight when it comes to bringing it back to the people in a humble way too. Because I feel like right now, not everything's positive, but, you know, people still want to listen. People still want to hear stories, and, you know, in a way where it's relatable.
We're really talking, and it's great to talk to young people because it really gives somebody old like me a really good feeling in my heart that the young ones are picking it up. Hey, welcome back. And Bear, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing here and also the organization that you are in. And it's pretty exciting, and talking about your podcast and thinking it through and getting some, and you didn't think you were going to be on the radio. So that's a good thing. We always throw you right in there and then you say, hey, that wasn't that bad. But tell us a little bit about it, Brer.
Like I said, I'm interning with IPM, but that's through Indigenous People's Task Force. So that's their Keep the Fire Alive program. I like the program. I think it's a great program. They build you up to learn to work together as a team. And it's from 18 to 24. So it's young adults.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the orgs that they intern at is all like majority, like native based.
Mm-hmm.
So like MIWRC, Indigenous People's Task Force, IPM, you know, like the Indian Center, like the Gatherings Cafe.
Yep.
Just to name a few. There's some amazing young adults there. I could definitely see them becoming like, you know, like future community leaders, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I was like really impressed with their writing, their speaking. The first couple of days of the training is mostly like communicating well. And everyone for the first couple of days was afraid to speak, I guess. And I don't know, it was weird. It was really weird seeing that. And I guess that gave me more confidence in speaking right there. And I kind of like set the tone, I felt like, me personally. But yeah, the training lasted for 3 weeks before. And then we got a list of orgs that we wanted to go at. And then, like, for obvious reasons, I guess, I wanted to choose IPM because they're doing a podcast. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I never did this before. And then also my parents are like co-founders.
Mm-hmm.
So I was all like, you know, this is like the go-to for me, you know, and I've done work with IPM volunteer work in the past. So I was like, yeah, this is my spot.
Right on.
Yeah.
Can you do me a quick favor? Can you move that? Because I can't see Bear's face and I didn't realize that. Yeah. Just turn it down. We're also on Native Roots Radio Facebook. If just lay it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Because I just noticed that people that are watching us on Facebook Live and YouTube can't see Bear because we're blocking them. But hey, live radio, isn't that cool? I just segued into take that down. Tell us a little bit of Bear. That's exciting. And what you said about young people too, being an old high school teacher and having an all native homeroom and seeing a lot of the people that were in my class that have stepped up. There's a student of mine that works at the Indian Center, Mishko, and she's just a doer, and she's unbelievable, and she does things in a good way, and she has a big heart, and there's a lot of them, but she's one of them that comes to mind right away.
Yeah, Bear's pretty dope because he actually, so Mini Shields is under IPM, and he helps with that as well. He's always has his clipboard with him. He's always like counting and tallying like who's in, who's out. And so it is pretty dope to see like younger people come up. And
what does dope mean? No, I'm just kidding. I get it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. So you guys also the Indigenous People's Task Force, don't they do walks around the neighborhood, Franklin Avenue? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that to me is old school AIM.
Indigenous People's Task Force. When I'm on patrol with Many Shields. Yes,
Many Shields. Thank you.
I do see IP our Indigenous People's Task Force picking up like talking to relatives, you know, handing out like bottles of water. I'm directing them towards the areas they need to go. But Many Shields or whatever, we're kind of like security/outreach. We direct the relatives towards, we relocate them off the property and we direct them towards resources like MIWRC, Indigenous People's Task Force, AICDC. My dad's, he's like team manager or something mm-hmm. for their outreach program. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty much learning like all my techniques from my father on how to deal with people of any background, whether they're like houseless or not, you mm-hmm. know, or whether they're intoxicated or not, you know. He's really good at like de-escalating situations, and I guess I don't know, I learn and observe.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to de-escalate a few situations myself, and I don't know, it's a pretty good group of guys. We have Monday meetings at 7 p.m. at the Indian Center.
Yeah,
every Monday.
It's pretty radical.
Yeah, Many Shields. I guess I missed called it, but Many Shields reminds me of the old days of AIM Patrol, and because the old days, Franklin Avenue was full of bars, and you don't see that now. But back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it was loaded with bars, and it was a rough place to be. AIM did a lot of outreach and help to people like Many Shields is doing.
Yeah it's pretty radical. I feel like it gives
pretty
a great
dope.
Yeah, really dope alternative to like police, you know. It's like the people watching out for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to we're at past the halfway point here, and we talked about the things that are happening. And we didn't really talk about the big bill or any of those things now, but we did talk about resistance and Native Americans and our brown allies and are used to resistance. And I have a t-shirt that says resist that you can get. Never mind. I was going to give a little plug where you could get it, but we've been resisting for over 500 years. And so what I want to ask both you too is, what is the call to action? Where are we at? And I know I've been to the Capitol where there's 80,000 people protesting, but geez, I feel like we got to get to the streets. And there's only 3.5% of the community has to be engaged. And that's roughly, I don't know, I heard 12 million people in order to overthrow a government. And we're well past that right now with all the protests across the country. What is the, what do you see as the call to action?
I would say, like, know your neighbors, know your rights. Yeah, and like learn as much as you can about, you know, like the entity that's like governing, you know. And like, I think, you know, knowing your local officials is also really important, because like, and I feel like what people don't understand that's so bogus about this administration is that he's using the FBI, which is federal force, which is like the higher ground force, to come into like local governments. And by the Constitution and by like the, you know, what is the United States, you know, every state and every city has the right to govern themselves. Mm-hmm. And so this administration is challenging that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the people of the US like forget that the whole point of them taking away power is them coming in and enforcing and inflicting whatever it is that they want. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important for people to be reminded like why it's important to be involved in community, why it's important to just like know the people around you and, you know, understand that like your power comes from the people around you as well.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
I think one thing I'm kind of learning from everything is, like, I didn't realize how much of a pulse of an action or pulse of, like, a resistance can actually, like, make echoes, you know. And you never know, you know, it could be the smallest thing, but, like, you never know how much that's gonna go.
Yeah. That's why I bring up, like, AOC being mm-hmm. at Standing Rock. When I heard that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then she made a decision that day to run for, you know, her office.
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. And so that is crazy, you know. And we haven't really talked about this, but there was a lot of things happening positively too during the George Floyd incident. And what I mean by that, and I don't mean about the people that came from out of state and burned our city down,
yeah.
but I'm talking about the people that got together and said, this is wrong and we got to stand up to this and stand up for it for many, many, many days in peaceful protesting. And again, who would burn down their own pharmacy that's within, you know, the only pharmacy they had within 10 miles of their house?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there was actors coming in the city, and we don't talk about that enough.
I mean, I think the impact of it shows of how much more locally, like, Minneapolis and just, like, the Twin Cities have become, you know, like, how much, like, we've been leaning into, like, local, like, news, local events, local, like, music, you know, and trying to actually understand, like, we see each other, you know, mm-hmm. whether it be small pockets and good pushing call. That. Yeah.
So as a younger person, Bear, what do you make of all this that's happening? I mean, things are happening so fast. I can't imagine being 22 years old and living right now. I mean, was it a day at a time, or how do you do with it, Bear?
I don't know. It sucks being this young and living through, like, historical events.
Yeah.
Like every other, like, year or week or month, you know. Yeah. I don't know how I cope with it. Nah, I guess, you know, how I do cope with it is we do have that men's group, Many Shields.
Mm-hmm.
It's it is a men's group first and foremost, and that our patrols is like a separate, it's like a branch of it, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Part of the same tree. So there on Mondays we go and, you know, we talk about how we can better the community, how we can better ourselves. And I don't know, that's just it. But I do wanted to touch up a little bit about the in 2020, the riots
mm-hmm.
and how that affected me. I was a young man. I call myself a boy, honestly,
mm-hmm.
the way everything happened. I was only 17 around the time. And, like, I don't know, every time I just looked on the news, all I seen was, like, something else getting looted, someone else, you know, burning something down. I seen some people get shot. I was like, I was scared because that wasn't that far from me. I lived in Little Earth.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And, you know, we organized together. We banded together. And I don't know. That was beautiful to me. I still hear stories from, like, other people and other communities about how, like, we inspired them. And I was like, that's crazy as heck. You know,
that is crazy.
There was
people protesting all over the world for George Floyd. And people would like to forget that. But I remember a big crowd of people that were looting and going crazy were heading towards Little Earth, and the Little Earth protectors shoot them away. I remember seeing that live on Facebook.
I was there that day, and I ain't gonna lie with you. I was not ready to, like, I think I had like a stick, like an actual stick.
Hopefully a heavy stick.
Yeah. I don't remember. I was not, you know, I don't know. I did not want to, like, hurt no one if I had to, but at the same time, you know, I was ready to, like, defend my home and defend my people and my community. That was my community.
Well, and let's be clear, too. They were ready to burn down Little Earth.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that.
And, yeah, they, you know, we confronted them. And I can't really remember what happened because I wasn't, like, right there in the front. But they ended up going a different way. And then later that night, and this was actually crazy, we got attacked by the National Guard.
Yeah.
And that was like, I don't know, that was like, I don't know, it was like a wake up, like a super wake up call for me. Like, I was already awoken, you know, and then
right.
I don't know, I just, like, kept me up for days. That was really intense and scary, you know. I never got, like, attacked by the National Guard. They're, like, shouting at us, telling us to go home, go inside our homes, shooting rubber bullets at us. I don't know, it was wicked. I ain't gonna lie either. I was like one of the first ones to like run because I was like I said, I was a boy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And it was crazy too because they also slashed all our tires that we were using as like a blockade.
Mm-hmm.
And then like they didn't just slash those tires; they went into like the parking lots and slashed like everyone.
Yeah.
Almost everyone's tires, and I thought that was crazy. And you know, my dad after that night, my dad, you know, still went out. My mom's like, you know, we got to get out of the city for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up taking all my family members, and we ended up going down to a hotel outside the city. And we stayed there for like a couple of days. And they gave us a discount, too, because, you know, we were like kind of like fleeing.
Yeah.
It was crazy, too, because we seen other families there, not from our community, but from the area.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they still were a part of our community. We just didn't like.
Yeah. Talk no, to them. Right. Well, it's important that we bring these things up and remind people of how messed up things were. I lived through 1968, which was an unbelievable time. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. What happened at the convention? National Convention, Democratic National Convention. So all these things happened. We lived through that, and we're in the middle of this now. But it's great to bring up these stories. We only got a couple minutes left here, and I would like to maybe some final thoughts. And I'm gonna start with you, young warrior.
I would say, you know, time is on our side. The people are on our side. Know the people, love the people. And, you know, all of this is just like a amplified version of hate, you know? So it's like, know your love. So I'm gonna say that.
Good one. Bear, what do you got for me?
She kind of said, you know, what I kind of wanted to say, but also forgot to mention about the podcast. It's called Sage in the City.
Yeah.
That's the name we chose. It's going to be on the IPM pages. That's on Facebook, Instagram. We're going to get a TikTok and I think a Spotify.
It's going to be dope.
Yeah, we're going to be super dope. I know KFAI and Native Roots Radio is definitely willing to support this and to get it out there to the community and help produce it. And that's kind of why you're here, is to get your feet wet and know if Robert Pilot can do this, anyone can do this.
Right. Stay tuned. Sage in the City.
Yeah. What do we got? Are we going down to two more minutes or? Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say a big peeny geeky thank you so much for being on. I haven't been at KFAI for quite a while and done a live show in quite a while. I did one for Roya right after the election, and it's always great to be in the studio. And I feel like being in the studio, we really are on the shoulder of a great people, because KFAI was started many, many years ago in a church basement by Native Americans. Were really involved with KFAI, and you don't hear that history very often, but
that's dope.
But that's, you know, and so bringing people like you here and having the Native shows on here really shows again resistance, and that's what we're all the experts at.
Yeah, existence is resistance.
Oh, I'm gonna make a t-shirt out of that.
Yeah, I have a t-shirt that says that.
Oh, I'll sell it to you. Right. Well, I want to say a big peeny geeky thank you, dude. And maybe we can just leave with power to the people and do a nice segue. This is Native Roots Radio, and a big peeny geeky for everyone listening, and a big shout out to my guests.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll talk to State Representative Christian Phelps on the lifting of enrollment caps on voucher schools and new Democratic Party State Chair Devin Remicker.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration is releasing thousands of California National Guard members from a federal mission after immigration protests in L.A. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass.
I have said from the beginning that what is happening in Los Angeles is we are being used as a test case, and I am hoping that this experiment with the lives of people ends here.
The consumer price index jumped 2.7% from a year ago. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Year over year, proteins like meat, poultry, fish, and eggs, those prices are up by 5.6%.
A federal grand jury indicts Vance Belter, who's accused of killing a former Minnesota House Speaker and her husband, according to acting U.S. Attorney Joseph Thompson.
Count one of the indictment charges the defendant with the stalking of Melissa Hortman, with the intent to murder Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark Hortman.
He's also accused of shooting and wounding State Senator John Hoffman and his wife. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin.